So.
One sec, sorry.
I don't know what you've heard about you, but he's with the Sweet Spot 1 to 3. Whether it's the phone or clean feed, it's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about you.
Sorry.
But he's with the Sweet Spot 1 to 3.
Dump that.
Nico, get the f*** out our city. It's the afternoon J-U-B.
That's right, 2:38 on the Sweet Spots. And do we have a sponsor here, perchance?
Globe Life.
Right, and let's say hello to the Texas Radio Hall of Famer, Marconi winner, and one-third of those Courage Boys in the Morning. It is our good friend, George Dunham. Jubb, how we doing?
Real joy.
Hey, it is the Sweet Spot.
It is always good to hear from you. And this morning you did the show with Norman, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I do want to ask about the mix with the Invasion, because who was the Cowboy Spare you liking DJ to when you were trying to rip DJ for complaining?
Alundis Bryce.
Alundis Bryce. So you were Aikman and DJ was Alundis Bryce.
Yeah. I would say I regret it, but I don't.
Because DJ's trying to light you up for now working just 3 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then Norm takes a run at me this morning. I mean, okay. Did y'all want us to do 5 hours for 40 years? What did y'all want?
Boy, Alundis Bryce had 18 career tackles.
Fourth round pick.
You really think low of DJ. And you're not wrong.
Did you rip Norm for retiring? Like, oh, you want to rip me? I could just not work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, you know. And I know, it's, you know, we're just joking. We're all having fun.
You're
but,
just ribbing him.
Yeah. You know. After we've done this shift now for a year and 4 months, we get it. Okay, we work less hours now. Funny, hilarious. We're still playing quarterback, you know? We're still fighting every morning.
That's right. You're not some fourth rounder who made 18 career tackles.
And not everyone has the balls to do 2 hours a day.
That's right.
That
was the other thing. Norm makes a big run at me, and that's what I said immediately back to him is, okay, I don't want to hear it from a guy who did 2 hours for, what, 20 years?
Well, I think it's pretty great, honestly.
And I'm sure that Norm would have liked a longer shift because he used to work mornings upstairs at our old place at KLA.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to go there today because thinking about Norm and the Musers, obviously it's been hunky-dory since, what, 2000 or 2001, whenever Norm made that transition and work 10 to noon for so long.
We had a peace treaty, yes.
Okay, but that's what I want to get into. I want to get into the peace treaty because as many P1s that tuned in back then remember, you guys were unrelenting towards the old school pioneer of his craft. You guys would prank him. He was enemy number one because he was your direct competition.
Yeah, that's right. And it was... It was war. And I feel bad about some of that. You know, it was a long time ago. We were young. We were in our 20s and early 30s. And, hey, Norm couldn't be more of a sweetheart of a guy. He is the best. He is just the absolute best. But, yeah, he was our competitor. And I don't know. We were trying to make our way in the market. And, yeah, we would... We would have Norm on our show, fake Norm, Norm and Andy, and it was, and then I think we were told we couldn't do that bit anymore.
Did Dan tell you that?
That was before Norm joined the ticket, I think. So then we called the two characters Bo and Jim.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another
just
morning
another
competitor.
Random, two random names.
That's awesome.
So was it awkward at all when he moved down?
You know, it really wasn't because Norm was so nice about it. You know how Norm is. He just shows up and does a show and is really nice to everyone around him. And it really wasn't. The first day was because we just had to, okay, Norm, we got to kind of go through it here. And we had to strike some sort of treaty between Gordon and Norm because... Well, he was on 570. At one point, Norm called for Gordo's firing because of the way the rant did the story of the JFK Jr. plane crash, which I was on Norm's side on that one. I think we all were. I think even Gordon was. I think even Gordon probably agreed with Norm that that they were way out of bounds on the rant. But yeah, I think they started going back and forth. That may have been a different time than I think I've changed over the last 5 years and people haven't noticed. I think that was when Gordon later took a run at Norm about his gambling and...
Because you mock it.
Gordon might have been said another that one too. He could beat him by flipping a coin. Yeah. So.
Was the coin flip fiasco, did that spawn Little Red Riding Hood?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. There were some scraps. I mean... The peace treaty was signed in like 2000, but there were times when the ceasefire stopped.
You guys went against the Geneva Convention. Yeah, go ahead, play the whole thing. That's great. You have it.
No, I just had the one clip.
Oh, okay.
I imagine completely undermining Norm's entire side gig with a coin would get under. And if you go back and listen to that clip, it's Frito that fights Gordon first.
Because Frito was also in on the
late great Frito got mad at Gordon, too.
And then he finally tags in Norm, and that's when Norm calls him Little Red Riding Hood.
So was Norm to the Ticket something that was in the works for a while? Like, because you said it was like 2000 or so. Or was this something where... You guys have a meeting, like new quarter, and it's like, okay, yeah, you guys know Norm? He's going to be on the station starting Monday.
Well, I don't remember exactly how it broke. I think it was pretty new, like, they're blowing up the lineup at Cliff, and Norm's going to come join us. And I remember most of us thought, okay, great, we got another really good player.
Name, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have a big problem with it from what I remember. It was just kind of weird at first. But, you know, that's seriously a credit to Norm and how just what a good guy he is. You know, he came down and we found out, okay, yeah, Norm's hilarious and he's amazing.
By the way, the name game this morning, like, he still hasn't lost his fastball on that front.
No.
That was nothing but gold. That was one of the best drives to school I've had of taking my kid to school in a long time. Because
got to hear the name
game. The whole name game.
Did he look right at you while he did it?
No, he was looking at a script, but he would look up at us on punchlines, which we were hoping for.
And he like leaves you a little time to talk because he understands the playbook as well. He knows the offense. He wants you guys to chime in. It was just a master of his craft.
Yeah, he allowed Gordon to sing Coming Around the Mountain a couple of times.
I think we all have off-air Norm stories here. I interned for him. Sean worked with him for a long time. I don't want to put you on the spot, Deep, but can you think of an off-air Norm story that just comes to top of your mind?
You know, it didn't happen to me, but one of the funniest things I ever heard about Norm was when he was back, he was doing soccer. I think it was Dallas Tornado with Brad Sham. And for some reason, they had to do a game in Mexico. I guess the Tornado was playing the Mexican national team.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were having technical difficulties. It's like the way Brad tells it, they showed up to the stadium and they had to hook up their own, you know, equipment. There was like, a Comrex. And there was no phone line or phone coupler to hook into.
Yeah.
Brad said there's just wires coming out of concrete. And he's like, how are we going to get this game back to Dallas? So as Brad is talking with an engineer and trying to figure out Spanish and hook this all this machinery up.
No habla mucho español.
Norm is trying to talk to someone there who knows the Mexican national team. And yes, in broken English, he's like going player by player. Good kick. Good kick. Good. You don't see good.
They all kick.
You know, goalie. Okay. And he's trying to figure all this out. And Brad is, you know, trying to hook this up. And he's going through his own language barrier problem with the engineer. And finally, Brad said he lost it. And he just looked at Norm and, you know, unleash this profanity-laden scolding of Norm of what, you know, effing difference does it make if he can kick or not, or who's good or who's the fast player or whatever. We're not getting on the effing air. And he said, Norm, again, sweet Norm, didn't say anything back to him, just looked at him, blinked a couple of times, and went right back to the guy. Okay, this defender, is he right foot?
No.
And can't you just see Norm looking at him just blinking a couple of times and then going right back into sports?
Because Norm's a bulldog.
Trying to figure out the Mexican national team.
Like if he writes something down in his yellow pad or he has it in his mind, he has to finish whatever task.
Mm-hmm. Right. Norm's all about the game. Yep. We'll figure out the engineering thing. I just want to know the scouting report on this team. It's typical Norm.
I've always wondered, when was the first time during y'all's mixes that you realized you need to get out of your chair and give it up to Norm? Was there a conversation, or did you just know innately that I need to do this?
I'm trying to think of when that started. I don't think it started until we moved into the new studio. Right? I don't think I used to give up my seat to him back at the old studio?
I don't remember because I wasn't on your crew then, but I feel like it probably happened when Norm had his first big health issue where he had to do the show from home for a while, and he called groups.
Yeah, maybe it did happen at our old studio, and I was always good with that because, I mean, Norm, he had a hard time getting around, so I got out of his way, and I sat in the seat where he would sit, so I'd get out of his way. That was fine.
You should have saw whenever we did, because I did a week with Norm 9-1, and Elf was before us. Mm. And Elf, I guess, was not made aware of the pack that you and Norm had signed. So when we were going to mix, Elf did not budge. Did not move from his seat.
Right there.
And you could tell Norm was just kind of hovering over him, waiting for Elf to move.
Blinking.
And yes, and Elf never got the hint. So Norm would like kind of very loudly and passive aggressively sit in a chair it was pretty awkward. I think by the end of the week, someone had told Elf, you need to move.
Hit him in the butt.
You know, the other one about Norm that's amazing, and this is kind of a Gordo story, and you guys have probably heard it, but, you know, back in the day, Gordo would work on our show and the Hardline. But then it would come vacation time, and I think we had 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe, I don't know, for the whole year. And
boy, how things have changed.
Yeah, they've changed a little bit. But so Gordo was on our show primarily, and we would go on vacation. So Gordon would say, well, I'm going to go ahead and work because I usually take my vacation when the Hardline takes it. So he would take vacation with the Hardline. And then when Norm would come in and fill in for us, he would torpedo his show so badly that Norm, after one day, would go, you know, pal, why don't you just take a little bit of a break? So Gordo would get twice the vacation time because he would vacation with the Hardline, and then Norm would kick him off the air, and he would take vacation when we took vacation.
Genius.
Yeah. It was genius.
That is a very Gen Z thing to do from Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to work. I'm
one
just
day,
be bad at it.
Yeah, launch
about, I don't know, 40 torpedoes, and finally about 9 o'clock, you know, pal,
what you said, sleep and rest. Get some sleep.
Well, George, this was a fun trip down memory lane, my friend. And guess what?
It was
next
a fun
week,
trip.
We don't have to obsess over the draft. We'll know who the Cowboys have select-maked
Man,
in 12 and 20.
This is going to be exciting. Trade? Or no trade?
Okay. I'm voting no trade, but TBD. We'll see.
Okay.
It's all going to unfold right here on the ticket.
Okay, boys.
All right, George. We'll see you. See you next
Let's
week.
Let's party soon.
Let's party. Always. Some frozen awesomes. And it is the summer of the hot dog. Summer starting very soon there.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
I cooked 280 hot dogs on Sunday.
Okay. Did you finish them?
Well, I didn't eat them all, but I cooked them for other people at the Bartonville store.
Oh, okay.
It was part of our big, protest thing.
We're gonna hear that again.
Okay. Some protest hot dogs. I love it.